"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Hey, welcome, everybody.
Hello. Happy Friday. TGIF.
Oh, no. Got to fill the space right away.
Well, you're not talking, so I, you know, I felt bad for Ken.
I just rushed in here at the last minute, so I've got to organize myself. But, you know, you can feel free to carry on without me. So I got everything in the right order here.
I'm just wondering, am I on?
You're on.
Yeah, you're on.
I got a bad echo.
I got worried for
echo.
A second, too.
What's that?
Bad echo in my own voice. Wow, what did I do here?
Maybe it's your empty head.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be tough to carry on like this. I'm going to have to figure this out. Oh, my own voice just keeps coming back to me, doubled.
Now, neither one of you want to talk, so I guess it's up to me.
Yeah, you can have it.
Yeah, you know what? You started the show too early, Eric.
Me?
Yes, it's your fault. Neither one of us was ready here.
Well, no, that was Gary and Shannon going to break then.
Oh, did they quit too early?
I don't know.
They quit early on Fridays. They can't wait to get to the Chardonnay. I understand that. Well, we have coming up at 3 o'clock. We are going through all the propositions on the ballot. And we're going to try to get the yes and the no people on each side. But there's a lot of... there's a lot of advocates who won't come on our show because they don't want to be questioned. They don't want to have to back up their wacky ideas. So we're going to have the people who say no on Proposition 1, which is California's state constitutional right to abortion. And that's a pleasant thought. The support's very high for this. 2/3 of likely voters said yes in 2 different surveys. Nobody's really fighting against it because it's kind of a lost cause there. So I guess Newsom will continue his abortion tourism advertising that he does. Have people come from all over the world and abort their babies. And we're also going to have coming up later. This is the weirdest story. Alex Stone's going to come on with that. They found at a $15 million mansion up in Northern California, a town called Atherton. Atherton is extremely wealthy. And somebody bought a house for $15 million, and they have discovered that there is a car buried 4 feet down in the backyard. And the car has bags of concrete mix inside it. And the cadaver dogs started sniffing around to see if there's any human remains, and they got a little excited. But nothing's been found yet. So that looks like a good one, too. Today's hypocrite. Our climate hypocrite of the day is Mark Zuckerberg. Looks like Fox has discovered that Mark Zuckerberg, who is a major climate change fanatic, he has a Gulfstream G650 jet, and he's burned at least $158,000 worth of jet fuel in just 2 months, from mid-August to mid-October. 158,000, 28 different trips in his private jet. There is flight tracking software that has tracked Zuckerberg, and he's gone to Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, New York, Texas, and a bunch of other states, and then they comes back to San Jose. Zuckerberg's private jet has blown out 253 metric tons of carbon. By comparison, the average American total for the year expels 16 tons. And he blows out 253 in just 2 months, just on his jet. What a colossal phony. What a fake and a fraud. The average person worldwide, because most people around the world are very poor, only emits 4 tons a year. He's at 253. He takes long trips and short trips. He took a trip 18 miles between two Arizona airstrips. And he also, the plane flew from Carlsbad to San Diego. And but Zuckerberg constantly gives money to climate change causes. It's time for our generation-defining public works. How about stopping climate change before we destroy the planet and get millions of people involved manufacturing and installing solar panels? This is part of his commencement address at Harvard University. He's lecturing the world saying, why don't we stop destroying the planet? 253 metric tons in 2 months. These people are clowns. No country can fight climate change alone or prevent pandemics. Progress now requires coming together, not just as cities or nations, but as a global community. I guess everybody except him. And the reason he wants to create virtual reality technology, it would be better for society and the planet rather than traveling on cars and planes and all that. In other words, life would be better for human beings if we all sat on the couch with a headset in some kind of an imaginary world. Because then we're prone to travel and we foul the planet. I guess in our private jets. He and his wife, Priscilla Chan, have the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative, a private foundation. They've blown tens of millions of dollars to the climate initiative. Of course, the temperature of the Earth's atmosphere has not gone down even a hundredth of a degree with all that money. And, you know, what they've done, a series of these. They've looked at Leonardo DiCaprio and Steven Spielberg, who travel frequently on private jets, and they're constantly giving speeches, scolding everybody else. Spielberg, they found out, burned $116,000 worth of jet fuel between June and August. I'm terrified of global warming, said Spielberg. Global warming is a scientific reality. It's not a political trick. It's a true piece of real, measurable, quantifiable science. You know, when you're not mindful of something that could pose a danger to your children and grandchildren, you go blithely through life with aerosol cans doing all sorts of things that are depleting the ozone. Again, the man burned $116,000 worth of jet fuel in 2 months. There's no other word than phony. I mean, they're synonyms for phony, but I think that's probably the best one. All right, you got more coming up. John and Kensha, KFI.
All right. I'm going to try to tough through this because this is just weird. Everything I say is echoed back into my headphones.
On a delay?
I consider myself to be the luckiest, just like that.
Yeah.
Like a stadium. Problem is I can't turn the headphones down. I won't be able to hear you. Which might be a good thing.
That is a drawback, sure. Well, I mean, if you can't deal with it, you can't deal with it.
That's okay.
Might take a while.
A little distracting.
Might take a while for them to fix it, or unless it's in your control board there, and then.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know which. It just happened today. The LA City Council did hold its online virtual meeting this morning. And, you know, they once again let people make comments. I heard a couple of them on the news. Usual rants about racism, and they got to resign. They got to resign. We're not going anywhere.
This is getting tiring. It's the same. There's nothing more to say about this story. Everybody knows everything about it, and everybody has their opinion locked in, and he doesn't have to leave. There's no legal mechanism to force it. He's not required to go, Kevin DeLeon. So you got to live with it. You don't get to hound or cancel everybody you want to cancel. It just doesn't work that way. You don't have the power to do it.
Yeah, I think they think if they just keep protesting, he'll give up.
I don't think so. You know, when a person digs in, at some point they realize they'd really look like a fool if they cave into what, a bunch of homeless people. These protesters are outside his house. They're living in tents. So they're going to live like homeless people?
Yeah, that tells you they're there for as long as it takes and not leaving.
Tells you they don't work.
Well, we knew that. Now you're repeating yourself.
Well, of course I'm repeating myself. There's nothing new to say.
We know
about
they
it.
Don't work.
So who cares what they say? Why would anybody care? Let him scream and yell. Let him defecate and urinate, whatever they do best. The hell with them.
But the timid council is going to have to put up with them in their making their statements for the next, I don't know.
Well, and they have to. Then they that's the way it goes. They have helped enable these mobs, and they like these mobs when the mobs are on their side. Sometimes the mob turns against you. Got to deal with it. No sympathy for this crowd. By the way, you know they want to heal the city. Why don't you get all the homeless people off the streets, and why don't you get the criminals back in jail? That'll heal the city. I don't know of a single person in my life who really gives a crap what happens to Kevin DeLeon. Most people were fascinated by the car crash nature of the story up to a point, and now it's like, oh, wow, he really won't resign? Huh, that's weird. And then that's it. And then it's back to the regular channel. Hey, there's a guy taking a crap on my front lawn. Hey, my neighbor got broken into last night. In my world, that's the two things everyone's talking about if they talk about anything outside their personal lives. If they talk about something about public life in L.A., that's the two things. So that's what they haven't done for the last 4 years. And now they've got this excuse. It's like, oh, we're all wounded. We need healing. It's like, stop it. All right, he could hang himself off the 6th Street Bridge, and you still won't get the homeless people off the streets or the criminals in jail. So shut the bleep up.
We both saw that story in Politico this morning about welcome to Los Angeles, where political careers go to die. The LA mayor's office has been a dead end for generations.
Well, so what? You know what? The last thing I care about is the political future of the mayors that have passed through here. I mean, the people we have had over, the past 20 years? One clown after another. Garcetti, oh, poor boy, he's not going to get to be president. Villaraigosa, oh, he's not going to get to be governor. Jim Hahn, oh, he's not going to be able to run a pet store or whatever it is he's capable of doing. I mean, that's the last 20 years. Who cares? They're all bad. In fact, why isn't there an article on that? Why are L.A. mayors so bad? How come we haven't had a good one since Dick Riordan? What about that? Oh, they can't live off the public anymore. They've got no office to run for. Yeah? You saw the job Garcetti did. What's he qualified to do?
Yeah. He had a quote in here about, here it is. I think it's okay to not want one single tent on the streets of L.A. It's also okay to not want any traffic in L.A. It's also okay to want to have no pollution and smog in L.A. It's okay to not want one unaffordable unit in L.A., and those have to be our goals. If we're not marching towards those, what are we doing? But it's tough for people in a one-click culture where whatever you want from Amazon is arriving this afternoon to understand that governance is different.
Oh, what a jerk.
I know.
Oh, it's so complicated, so time-consuming. This guy had 9.5 years. Nobody was asking for anything to be solved with one click by this afternoon. You had 9.5 years. Let's roll back to 2013. God, I wish there was a time machine. Maybe Zuckerberg could get off his private plane for 5 minutes, invent a time machine. Let's go back and see what life was like in L.A. I think it had about 35,000 less homeless people, and I think it had far less crime. You know what's amazing? It's not that it takes years and years to fix problems. It took him 9.5 years to destroy the city. It was little by little, day by day. Once they started letting the homeless people live in the streets, you know, you let 5, 10.
Oh yeah, it's incremental.
It's incremental every day. Right. You know, it's what would it be? It would be like about 3,000 days of Garcetti as mayor. And in those 3,000 days, what happened day by day? You had about 10 homeless people a day come and squat. So after 10 years, you end up with 30 or 40,000 of these homeless people.
Yeah, and now there's a plug in here for Bass in that she's saying, well, you know, I think as a strategist, she's 69. She's not looking to the next office the way the last several mayors have. She'll make the tough decisions. She'll get things done because she won't care about what's next.
She never did anything. What do you mean she'll make the tough decision? What was the tough decision she made in the first 69 years of her life? What is the great Karen Bass tough decision? Let me know.
Well, huh?
What effect has she had on anything on the planet, other than steering money to USC after she got her bogus master's degree? I'm not aware of anything she's done. In fact, I don't see, even in her campaign ads, she doesn't even campaign on having accomplished anything. I remember in the first debate I saw her, she kept talking about some social service organization that she helped found 30 years ago, and she kept referring to the same thing. It's like, you're talking about 1990, lady. We've gotten overwhelmed the last 5 years or so with homelessness and crime. What have you done? Nothing. And she doesn't want to do anything. Just a lifetime hack, looking to live off the public for another 4 years. Maybe 8 years. That's what she wants. She wants a job where she can live off tax money. Why don't you go and get a job in the private sector? You know, she. I remember during the debate, she's saying, well, you know, I worked something in nursing, right? It's like, yeah, 30 years ago, again. Otherwise, we paid for you.
Yeah, look, the rest of this article is how L.A., because we only have 15 council members, they're so powerful, and it's tough for the mayor to get anything past them, and a lot of excuses.
And what do they do with their power? They enrich themselves. What they do with their power is they finagle developers so they can get flights to Las Vegas, gambling chips, booze, food, and hookers. That's their power. Like the rest of us, we got to pay for our own food, booze, and hookers. But they get them for free. That's the power of being a councilman. I mean, enough of this. You know, the whole world is fake. And everything written about this world is fake. Nobody writes the truth. Nobody writes reality. These people are a bunch of political failures and losers. Why are we subsidizing their lives at all? They destroyed the city.
Everything's destroyed.
Yeah, that's right. They've ruined the place. So we got to start all over again.
All right, we got more coming up. KFI AM 640 live everywhere in the iHeartRadio app.
We were talking about Kevin DeLeon and everyone's stuck. There's an editorial today, the little weenies at the El Segundo Times, what happens after Councilman Kevin DeLeon's apology tour. I don't think everyone's accepting this. The cancel mob so desperately wants to run off with his head on a stick, and I guess the Times is in shock that DeLeon is not obeying them. And so they just write, I think they've had 4 editorials in the last week demanding that he resign.
Yeah, they're part of the mob that thinks they control right. Everything.
And, oh, that reminds me. I'll tell you about that in a second. So the thing is that they're flummoxed now because he's not resigning. And this is the part I'm enjoying about DeLeon. You know, and I've said over and over, he's a terrible scumbag. But it's kind of funny that he's refusing to resign. And all the people who are used to celebrities and politicians and anybody else in power immediately resigning. You know, the way the game is played is you apologize profusely, and then the mob rejects the apology. Apologizing to them is pointless. First of all, odds are you don't mean the apology anyway. Second of all, they're never going to accept it. They don't believe it. And even if they believe it, they don't care. They want to keep protesting. They want your head. And DeLeon's not giving it to them.
Yeah, we've talked about this. This is what these people want. It kind of gives them a reason for living.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about it, all the media coverage they're getting, they really believe that they are now in charge of at least the LA world. They're on TV every day, and then some of them are there complaining in the virtual meetings with their 1 minute. So yeah, they're not going away because they believe that they're going to ultimately succeed. And if he quits, they're going to claim victory and they're going to feel validated. So if he decides to just continue on his course, I don't know how long this will go on. This reminds me of sort of like Occupy.
Well, yeah. So they said they're going to stay there every day until he resigns. Well, what if he doesn't for 2 years? Again, these people...
In that, I doubt they'll be there every day. It'll dwindle.
These people are either on welfare or they're getting paid by some left-wing organization to go and sit there and yell, and this becomes their job. Maybe they get... I hope they get minimum wage of at least $15 an hour, because that's hard work there, sitting in the sun. But what's... One of these articles, and I forgot, did I remember to mark it and save it? I don't think I did, because I read it last night. It was one of the articles the LA Times published last night about DeLeon and apologies and this and that, and this is outrageous that he's not resigning. And somebody in the comment section reprinted the Times' endorsement of Kevin DeLeon, which is just the perfect comeback. It's like, hey, this was your guy. In fact, if I had, 15 minutes, I'd like to dig out every endorsement every time DeLeon ran. Because he was in the state legislature for a while. He ended up being the state Senate president. And, then he ran for Senate, and then he ran for city council. And I bet you most of the time, LA Times was a huge fan of DeLeon. He thought he was a really cool guy.
Well, and they'll just tell you they didn't know the real guy. We were fooled. That he would ever talk like this, privately.
He said something.
Something.
And now, is the editorial board actually going to try to sell the idea that none of them have ever said anything slightly offensive? None of them? In any setting? And that every time they heard something offensive, that they immediately stood up and demanded that this kind of language cease? And did they walk out of the room? Anyone believe that? Do you know anybody who's ever done that? Do you know anybody who's ever stood up and said, well, I never, and get the vapors and be unable to move on, unable to function?
I think there have been, and even some public meetings where there was another speaker said, dude, that's not appropriate. I think that's happened, yes. Private conversations, I don't know, because then you tend to be with your friends. Yeah, then you tend to be with your right. cabal, your group.
Right, like this little cabal.
And you probably share similar viewpoints.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was the little Latino caucus. That's what they called themselves.
Right.
And they were there to carve out the power.
So all the rest of them. The Bonin caucus, the Black Council people, all of them. They're all squeaky clean. They all never make any snide remarks about the other tribes, really? Who are you selling that to? No snarky comments about white people?
No.
Right.
But meanwhile, back in the real world, because, you're talking about the real problems people face, and I had heard today that car thefts are still big in L.A. What we had going on back in 2020 when this started, it's the pandemic, and because the police aren't out there as much and people aren't out there as much watching over their cars, there's an uptick in thefts, but that'll go away. Apparently it hasn't.
That was a load of crap.
The city's on pace to record its highest annual car theft total since at least 2010 this year.
It had nothing to do with the pandemic. It had to do with they were letting prisoners out of jail.
It does, right. We have Prop 47. We have prisoners out of jail.
Right.
We have a lot more dangerous people on the streets. And some of them are where all they want to do is steal cars.
Well, the pandemic did not make me watch my car any more or less. I still parked it in the same place as I always did. You know, when I park it here at the station in the garage, I don't see it for 5 hours. So what would the pandemic have to do with that? If I go to a store, I'm parking it in the grocery store lots. Same thing. That was such nonsense. Everybody goes, yeah, it's the pandemic. I had nothing to do with the pandemic. You had more criminals on the streets. That's what the issue was. And they didn't want the only way the pandemic played in is they claim, oh, we don't want to put people in jail now that the virus is spreading around. We wouldn't want criminals to catch the virus.
The article says that, which kind of makes sense. Some of it is social media telling people and instructing. Some of them are even challenges. I guess a lot of cars now are push button starts, right? You have a fob with you and you push the button on your ignition. But there are still good old key ignition cars left. And some of them are Kias. And I guess that people call it Kias and Hyundais. A lot of them still have key-based ignition systems rather than those push buttons. And there is a trick you can learn. I guess it's like right out of the old crime TV shows and movies about how to start the car. If you just get inside the car and you can play around with the ignition, if it's a key ignition, and you can get the car started, and you can steal it. And because this is being passed around on social media, probably guys that hadn't really stole a car before, but are really just... ne'er-do-wells saw this and said, yeah, hey man, it's probably not a bad way. If it's that easy, I'm going to go do it. Because apparently a large percentage of the cars stolen in LA and even in other cities are Hyundais and Kias. So maybe they need to change their ignition systems. Yeah,
I didn't know Hyundais and Kias didn't still had
older
keys.
Ones. Thieves older most ones. Frequently target Kias made between 2010 and 2021. Well, that's not that old. And Hyundais from 2015 to 2021.
Yeah, those aren't old. I mean, the average car... on the road, or the average car stays on the road 11 years now, and people keep their cars an average of 6 years. So the average car gets two owners and 5 to 6 years.
Now I was going to say, you may keep it for 7 years, but you sell it and somebody keeps it another 7 years.
Right, yeah.
There's a lot of old cars on the road.
Especially the Japanese cars, the German cars, those things can go 20 years.
Right.
And they're going to if they really put through this electric car mandate. Oh, here, I found it. Well, okay, I have the headline. This is from February 9th, 2020. Endorsement, LA Times. Kevin DeLeon has a track record of getting big things done. Just what the LA City Council needs. And they talk about another candidate named Cindy Otteson. They like her, except though this year she's up against an opponent with a much heftier resume and a more substantial track record. He is Kevin DeLeon, the former president pro tem of the California Senate. During his 12 years serving the neighborhoods of Council District 14, DeLeon racked up a long list of impressive accomplishments. Many Californians will remember DeLeon as the fiery leader of the state's Trump resistance who challenged Dianne Feinstein in the 2018 election. We didn't support DeLeon for that job, nor did the voters. It wasn't the right time to change leadership. All right. Since then, Feinstein has gone the Biden route. We are enthusiastically endorsing him now. DeLeon's particular strength is envisioning ambitious solutions to major problems, then building alliances and using his political savvy to get them adopted. As the leader of the state senate for 4 years, he wrote several important pieces of legislation and helped turn them and others into law. Among them were landmark laws mandating an aggressive switch to renewable energy. That was a tough political battle that might have well been lost by a less capable lawmaker. He has an impressive grasp of details, including the workings of local government, has specific and achievable goals for the city and district. We'd like to see him apply these considerable skills to negotiating the issues of CD14, including fighting the NIMBYism that has made it difficult to build more housing, homeless shelters, and bus lines. One more line. If elected, it will be his job to see that district neighborhoods are getting their share of city services, making sure that streets are paved and clean, and balancing the sometimes competing interests of businesses and residents and developers. We hope he will do that.
Woo-hoo. We could all be wrong. Look at us and Schwarzenegger, right? We thought we had a bill of goods that was going to make a big difference, and he turned out to be a clunker. They turned out to have a clunker in DeLeon.
Well, because they're all bad, but they should they know better? We did that in 2006. This is 2020. And DeLeon Schwarzenegger was new. didn't know his personal character all that much.
No, nobody recorded De Leon before to see what...
Again, you really think they didn't know?
I don't know.
He never talked like this before? Of course they knew.
Well, they like to pretend that the city is coming together. And
why do they feel the need to constantly cheerlead for the city to come together and unite? What's the point?
Because they know it's crap too, and they want
it. It just papers over the reality. Maybe if we all let it out in the open, what everybody's issues are, maybe we could actually get somewhere. But everybody's always pretending. Oh, we're all united here. We're all diverse. Isn't this wonderful that we're all diverse and we get along? It's a load of hooey. People don't get along.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. All right, what we're doing up to Election Day, or close to it, we're going to get the yes and no sides on every one of the statewide ballot measures. The one that's coming up after 3 o'clock today is the abortion one. The legislature put this on there. This is not about signature gathering. The Proposition 1 is also called State Measure 1. It's supposed to protect at all lengths a woman's right to choose. We're going to have a guest on the no side. I don't know that we were successful getting the yes side, but polls apparently show it's going to pass overwhelmingly anyway, but we'll get the no argument. We're a no on the voter guide, and you can see our explanation. It's coming up after the news at 3 o'clock. It's a Deborah Marks story, and it's kind of a sweet one.
It really is.
Santa Clarita has the Gentle Barn. It's a farm that has a reverence for all life. And if you would like to go there, for $50, you can spend 90 minutes cuddling with a turkey.
Oh, how cute!
You can feed it treats. You can talk to it. You can really get to know it. These turkeys will not be killed for Thanksgiving.
I guess it's kind of
a sanctuary.
They used to have a Gentle Barn. I remember there was one in Tarzana. I remember it was...
It's like a chain?
No,
I don't think so.
I know the Gentle Barn. I think my kids went on a field trip there.
Yes, yeah. But maybe they have two now.
Was it the one on Winnetka?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, that was in a movie. I remember that.
I think I went to that one.
Yes.
I'm the only one left out. I've never been to a Gentle Barn.
You've never cuddled?
You're missing out.
I don't have any desire to like hug a turkey. They're kind of weird looking.
Well, they probably smell.
Well, you know what? I think that this is very timely since Thanksgiving is next month, because more people that will go to the Gentle Barn and cuddle a turkey may not want to eat turkey for Thanksgiving.
I don't taste good anyway.
Well,
yeah, they have farms in Nashville, Tennessee, and St. Louis, Missouri as well, where you can do this. They're going to do this at several of their locations. We're inviting you on Thanksgiving Day to cuddle our turkeys. Oh, I guess it's only good on Thanksgiving Day?
What kind of weirdos do you think show up?
Animal lovers. Why do they have to be weirdos?
Is that with a capital L?
Yeah, I thought turkeys, when they're talking about wild turkeys and turkeys, they could be aggressive. I thought they don't really you to come near them. They'll start pecking at you.
Yeah, they are. Turkeys are
Because they know
cranky.
That they're going to end up on the Thanksgiving table, so they're
they
upset. They have a sense.
How come they haven't figured this out? We've had, this Thanksgiving turkey ritual since the 1600s, and the turkeys still haven't figured out what's going to happen?
No, I don't think so.
Are they the ones that, when it rains, they look up at the rain and then they drown?
I don't know. Do they do that?
I think so. I remember hearing that years ago, that turkeys are so stupid that when it rains, they look up.
Okay, first of all, who cares if turkeys are stupid, okay? They're a living creature, and they deserve to be respected.
Do turkeys drown in the rain? Hold on. I know this was a thing.
News of the event is cheered on by vegans and animal rights activists and turkey lovers everywhere.
Oh, that's a myth.
Okay. Yeah.
I feel better now.
I didn't feel right about that one.
Yeah.
He believes in a lot of myths because they fit his agenda.
Exactly.
Well, it says, they put it on a major animal site. Will a turkey really drown if it looks up during a rainstorm? And,
and it was debunked as a myth?
They have a reputation for being stupid. They do.
I have heard that. They're a small brain.
And the idea was...
Because they only got a little tiny head they have.
The turkeys will stare up in the sky with their beaks hanging open, transfixed, until they drown. I've seen people like that. Turkeys do tilt their heads at the sky, and they'll remain there for several moments. But the idea that they drown is a myth.
Okay, well, that kind of scrubs it, all right? Yeah. I've looked up at the rain, I mean.
Yeah.
And you haven't drowned?
And Ken's not stupid either.
I have not drowned. Founded in 1999, the six-acre gentle farm is home to nearly 200 animals that are safe and happy. So they think if they bring enough people in, you'll give up consuming turkey for Thanksgiving because
yes.
you'll feel like... Plus, did you see that story? Turkey prices, like everything else, have almost have shot up like 50%.
Okay, so then let's stop murdering the turkeys this year and let's think of having something else.
They're not
for
worth
dinner.
Killing because they just don't. They taste so bad. Well,
then why do people, okay, do people eat turkey then?
I don't know.
Turkey meat's pretty dry. It's not my favorite either.
We stopped eating a turkey for Thanksgiving at our house a few years ago. Because
what are you eating?
Ham.
Well, I doubt it's a vegetable.
An Italian Thanksgiving. That's what we have. We make pasta.
Okay, that's good.
Or we go out to a restaurant. Well, yeah, with like a bolognese sauce. So you do have some ground beef in there.
It's not Thanksgiving.
Ken, do
you
have turkey for Thanksgiving?
Oh, yeah. I still have turkey, yeah. Afraid so.
Maybe this year you won't. Maybe you'll hug a turkey.
It's dry and tough. And there's no really good taste to it.
Not if you cook it right.
You got to drown it in gravy.
Nobody's ever.
He's right. If you cook it right, there are people that make it really well.
Sometimes
I get it from a restaurant that does it well.
If you drown something in gravy, that means it doesn't taste good.
You're disguising, right? Yeah, exactly.
Correct. But still, I like gravy. So
just have gravy instead.
Animal fat.
Yeah. Ken, just have a bowl of gravy, or put it over your mashed potatoes. And
yeah, but gravy, Deborah Marcus, from a lot, the good gravy is like from the animal fat from the pan.
Okay, I'm talking about make your own gravy that's vegetarian or even vegan.
No, you make your own gravy from the stuff that's in the pan with the turkey, and it's perfect.
Well, that's your opinion.
Yeah, fatty gravy tastes good.
Yeah, that's why people like
it. Take the fat out of it, then.
I only like Thanksgiving because it's a time where the family gets together. I hate the food.
It depends on your family.
I'm bringing in something vegan for myself this Thanksgiving.
That's,
all right, coming up next, we have Proposition 1. We're trying to get all the yes and no sides on for the statewide measures on your ballot. This would declare that the state shall not deny or interfere with an individual's reproductive freedom and their most intimate decisions, which includes their right to choose to have an abortion. The no side is coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.